I think it's an exciting time for us as a church. It really is. Just hearing about the building, how the money's been raised. I'm so thrilled at what we're doing. But, you know, the reason we do this is it's because it's part of our mission. We want others to know the amazing good news, which we are praising God for this morning. And the wonderful testimonies which came through about God's goodness, we want others to know about that. So we're taking a break from the Romans series. And we like to do that just every so often to talk about the work that we're involved in as Grace Church and some of our grace works. So before I hand over to James, I want to give a bit of a background to that. And especially if you're new here, you may not be familiar with the way in which we as a church want to get involved into our community, in the city, the surrounding towns of Chichester, but also into the nations. So Micah 6 verse 8 is a significant verse. I have shown you, people, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And God is a God of justice. And he's a God of mercy. And Jesus has demonstrated great humility. So all that we do comes out of wanting to express those characteristics and attributes of God, a God of justice, a God of mercy, and a God of humility. And we live in a world where there's not a lot of justice, there's not a lot of mercy, and there's not a lot of humility. And so the reason that we as a church are involved in grace works, because we want to demonstrate God's heart of justice and mercy and humility. So it's a priority for us at Grace Church. And we want to make sure that we never get so focused on our immediate needs as a church that we're not thinking about the world around us. In Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul said and encouraged us to do good to all people. And to do good will be to express the heart of God. And there's many projects which form part of our Grace Works program. And there are many ways too, and probably too many to count, in which we are all involved in various acts of mercy. I'm sure it happens throughout the life of this church. I know that people are forever looking out for others. But it's also good to have specific ways in which we do that as a church by having, if you like, more of a formalized program. And that's why we have Grace Works. And some of these are ministries that are not run within Grace Church. Some are working in partnership with other churches in the city. And that's great to do that as well, that we're united in wanting to make a difference in our world. So let me quickly go through them. Food Bank, that would be a great example. Food Bank is something that we are actively involved and supportive of in Grace Church. Then there's the Pregnancy Options Centre, and that provides counselling and support for people in crisis pregnancy, or those who have had an abortion, or those who are wondering what to do about a pregnancy. We want to demonstrate the love and the justice of God in those situations. So we actively support that. And then something new for us is the CAP Life Skills. CAP stands for Christians Against Poverty. And it's a national charity that equips local centres all around the country to provide help and support for people in the area of their personal finances. And in the Bognor site this morning, we have got someone who is speaking from CAP Life Skills, because that's a project we've started specifically down there in Bognor. So it's great that we as a church are a part of that. And the purpose of the Life Skills course is to help families live healthy and safely on a low budget. And that increasingly is a problem in the society in which we live. And then there are other ministries. So we have got the Ford Prison Ministry, and a number of people from Grace Church go into Ford Prison, and it's great to be a part of that, to help ex-offenders, and those ex-offenders then come into the life of the church and helping them to adjust. We support refugee families, and there may be some of you who actually were involved yesterday, I think, in helping out with the gardening of a family who've come to this country from a refugee situation. And then we also run groups for adults with additional needs and help them to access church life. And there's one other thing I'd like to include in this, which has already mentioned this morning, and that's Little Bears. And that's a parent and toddler group. And although this isn't specifically working with the poor, Nevertheless, we are providing a safe place in our city for parents to access a situation where they can be with their young kids, and we can provide support, you know, and games and things. And it's actually one of the best toddler groups, so I hear, that people want to get into. So that's good. We are involved in that. But one of the main ones is compassion, which is why we've got James with us this morning. And so although compassion is a separate global charity in its own right, we actually love the way that compassion has such integrity and connects through local churches to support kids around the world. And we as a church are particularly involved in projects in the Philippines. I'm sure that James is going to say more about that this morning. There's a whole group who went out to the Philippines from the church earlier in the year, and I know that many of you sponsor children as part of compassion. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to James. Let's give him a really warm welcome. He's come from Haven. He's already been preaching in Haven. So James, great to have you here.
How to turn this thing on. So, good morning. It's a joy to be here. Just before I begin, I'm just wondering, could someone sort of get a glass of water for me? As you can hear, my throat is not quite as it should be. I've just come back from actually a field trip in Ethiopia. It was fantastic. It was tiring, but I brought a little something back just to remind me. Having preached already once this morning, my prayer was, Lord, give me enough voice to get through just a practical thing. Because if you don't tell me the time, one of the great things about preaching first and then come somewhere else, you know what time you got to finish. If you're not out the door at 10 past 11 and haven't, you're not going to get here in time. So for once, I finished on time. It was marvellous. So what time should I have? Half past 12 maximum. Oh, that's a bit generous. I'm looking forward to this. 20 past, it's just changed. Okay. Well, it is a joy to be here. As you've already heard, Grace Church is tremendously generous in its relationship with compassion. And for those who don't know anything about compassion, we're going to see a presentation in a little bit. But for those who don't know about compassion, we are a Christian child development organization. And we partner with local churches. We only work through the local church. That is God's gift to the world. You are God's gift to the world, the local church. We want to see transformation in our communities, the local church. Once you see transformation in the Philippines, it's the local church. And compassion, our role is to enable and help and facilitate the local church to do what God has planned for it to do. Our model is a one-to-one sponsorship model. So I sponsor some children. I know a host of you here already sponsor children, and you're saying, why are you telling me all this? I already know it, but there might be some who don't. And that sponsorship is not just about providing money, although that is important, but it is about connecting with the child through letter writing and any way in which we possibly can. It was so exciting to go to the Philippines with a group of your church in April and to see them meeting their sponsored children for the first time. I tell you, it takes it all of the, you know, all the theory and all of the things that you think you know about what compassion does and what you do as a sponsor, when you meet your sponsor child, it takes your relationship to a whole new level. And it was wonderful and privileged for me to see that, to see these young wives and meeting their sponsors, those who were providing the money to enable them to have healthcare, education, social, spiritual, and physical development. In other words, to empower them to be released from poverty in Jesus' name, to have the life which God has planned for them. And by way of a thank you, I think there's a thing here somewhere. Thank you. Let's see if we can work this one as well. So, did you know there are 189 children being sponsored through Grace Church? The four sites, 189 children. Now, that number in and of itself is impressive, and we thank you for each and every one of them. But for those who have been to the field, and certainly I saw it again last week, what happens is that for every one child that is up there, the church has the ability to connect with a whole family, and actually, in many ways, a greater community. We see whole families' lives being transformed. Sometimes we're asked the question, why just the one child? Because that, why not every child in that family? Well, we wish we could, but we have a plan. And the plan is to enable you, the church, to get alongside one child, to get alongside one family and see the love of Christ transform that whole family and the whole community. So for every one of these 189, you can probably add another 5 or 6 or whoever knows how many people that because you are sponsoring a child, God is able to minister to through his local church. You're in 8 different countries, scattered around, but of course, as already been said by Steve, primarily in the Philippines. 180 children in the Philippines. I don't know how many children we did meet when we were over there, but it was absolutely amazing. We had a fantastic time. But I just want to mention, is the one person that's sponsoring in Burkina Faso, are you here? Maybe not. Okay, doesn't matter. That one is as important as the 180. We need to always remember, numbers come at us at a pace in life today. But God is interested in the one. The one. Burkina Faso, the one in Kenya. Who knows what God is going to do with that one person? But also, 180 in the Philippines. There were 1,000 letters almost in the last 12 months. Almost 600 from the sponsored children to you. 400 from you to the sponsors. You've got some catching up to do. I know Emma probably has written about 100 of those herself. So I don't know what the rest of you are doing. So the letters are precious to these children. When I was in Ethiopia last week, I met a young man who had graduated from the program. He told me a bit about his life, how he was orphaned as a young child. He was put in foster care. And the foster care family, they gave him a bed and they gave him some food, and pretty much that was it. There was no love, there was no comfort, there was no sense of family and belonging. He was surviving in another family just. And then he was sponsored, got in a compassion program, went to school, but his circumstances back in home were still the same. But he'd get these letters from his sponsor. We love you. We're praying for you. We're believing in you. We're trusting God's going to do something fantastic in your life. Keep working hard at school. And he said, there was times when life was so dark that the only thing that kept me going back to school was the letter from my sponsor saying, God's got great plans for you. That young man is now a lawyer. He is working in the government in Ethiopia. And for those who know anything about African politics, Ethiopia is going to become, or Addis actually, is going to become like Brussels is to Europe. That might not include us in the future, but we'll not go there. But Addis is where the African Union has placed its headquarters. And this young man's working right there. But he had a dark time. And yet the letters came through. And look what God is doing now. I encourage you, please. We've made it easy online. You can send photographs. You can do all sorts of stuff. Take 10 minutes. Write a letter. If you do nothing else today from what I say, go home. I'm going to write a letter in the next week. By the way, if you have not sent your Christmas card, tomorrow morning, 5th of November, deadline, Christmas card. Remember to do that as well. So, moving on. 103 girls, 86 boys of the 189. Some big numbers here. Lots of time spent on the kids. All the medical checks, the Bibles have been given, the meals have been given. Every single one of those precious. But then also, we live in a world where money can't be ignored. In this past 12 months only, £68,500 has been given by you to Compassion in order to transform these 189 lives. Plus, And that's not in the 68,000. 150 other gifts were given by you separately for birthdays or Christmas or who knows what. That number is much higher than 68,000. That's in 1 year. We thank you from Compassion, from the children, from the churches that we represent. We thank you on their behalf. There they are. Yours is up there somewhere. He or she is in there somewhere. Happy, healthy, getting an education, getting a grounding, having a Bible in their hands, hearing the gospel, seeing not only themselves but their lives, their families' lives transformed. You are making an incredible difference. God is in the business of changing lives and of changing stories. That's what God does. My story, as you can tell, I'm not from Chichester. I'm not even from England. I am from Glasgow. I was born in Glasgow, brought up in Glasgow. The accent, believe it or not, has changed a lot, but maybe not to your ear, but if I go home, I sound quite posh. But I was brought up in the centre of Glasgow in a place called the Gorbals. Now, some of you would have to be of a certain generation to have heard of the Gorbals. It was the poorest borough in Western Europe. Didn't know it at the time, didn't feel like it, but that was the truth of it. Family of six, four kids, mum and dad, two rooms. One room was the four kids. The other room was living room, mum and dad's bedroom, kitchen, study room, whatever other room you've got in your house, except the smallest room in the house, which wasn't in the house. It was on a landing shared by three other families. That was life for us. Now, we would say today that that's poverty. Didn't feel like it. Loving parents, aspirational, showered us with love and the odd, just to make sure we kept in line. But what an upbringing we had because of what my parents invested in us. But we were living in poverty. And yet, from what we saw when we were in the Philippines together, what I saw last week when I was in Ethiopia, it is nothing compared to the poverty of these folks that we met last week. When you can't afford a meal that day, when you can't afford to buy a pair of shoes, you're wearing two plastic bottles on your feet to protect the soles of your feet. When you've got one set of clothes which are in rags, and you can't afford to send your children to school, and you're not drinking clean water, and you have no access to any of the health services that we take for granted. Now that is poverty, and that's what you are doing as a church. You are releasing children from those circumstances and you are changing the story. There's one other short video that we have, which is the story of another young woman. A young woman that some of you met in April. A young woman called Scylla. Now, Scylla is the project director for the child survival unit that Grace Church, fund this unit on your own every year for the last number of years. And it's a mums and babies unit. We all know how much we need to invest at that time to make sure that what comes next, it can be to the maximum. The mortality rate in many of the countries is so high. So we have what we call child survival units. And this young lady, Scylla, such an impressive young woman, she heads up the child survival unit. And when we were there in April, and we were told that actually she's doing a fantastic job, but she's got a pacemaker. And the pacemaker's just about to time out. She'd had it for 12 years, needed changing. What can we do about it? What can be done about it? David and the team, they came home, you know the story. You raised the finance to enable Scylla to have her pacemaker changed. And this is her story.
raises me under your wings. Your shadow covers me, a promise of love, where my heart is safely undone. Speak to me, Lord, your servant is listening over the noise. I hear you whispering, my hope has come, and my heart is safely undone. I found my fortress in you, and my soul is
everyone. God is faithful to all of us.
In behalf of our family, we want to thank you all for all the love, prayers, and financial support that you have given to me. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. Your help helped me to have my new pacemaker so that I could live a normal and healthy life as I labor for the Lord's ministry. Thank you so much, UK Grace Church, especially to Pastor David and Pastor Simon. I really praise Jesus for your life. Once again, happy anniversary, and thank you so much, UK Grace Church.
Yeah, I think you deserve a round of applause for that. Just a couple of things. If you're wondering who Pastor Simon is, we think actually it's Simo. He made an impression. Surprise, surprise. We think it's actually Simo. And the anniversary is when I sent the email saying we're coming to have a celebration at Grace. I think they thought it was maybe a 10-year or whatever anniversary. So just a couple of qualifications there. Don't worry, you're not getting a new pastor called Simon. So a life transformed. She is so desperate to get back to work, to serve God, to look after these mums and babies, 15 of them in the unit in any given year, and then they'll graduate into the standard sponsorship program, and the next 15 to 20 will come in, and that's what you are investing in. That is who you are investing in. And we from Compassion, we want to thank you for all that you do. We know that it's in lots of different ways. It's sometimes individual, sometimes it's corporately, but we want to give you thank. We want to thank you on behalf of the children that we represent and for just how you are reaching out and touching and transforming lives. At this point, I was supposed to be preaching from the Good Samaritan. However, as I was driving along this morning, I never do this, by the way, so I'm out on a limb. But I was driving along in the car this morning, and I was just thinking, Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a clean heart, create in me a clean heart. And I was thinking, Lord, what are you saying to me about this? And then we were in heaven, one or two things happened, and I thought, ah, I'm hearing it now. I'm hearing what you're saying now. So actually, what I want to do this morning for the maximum 15 minutes, 17 minutes, I'll get 25 past, it's a compromise in there. For the 17 minutes that's available to me, I'd just like to see what God is saying to us this morning about how he wants to change stories, transform lives. From the very, very beginning of God's word, it is about him relating to us and transforming our lives and enabling us to be the best that we can be in God. He's in the business of changing stories. 189 lives plus families, Sarah's life, who incidentally was a Compassion child. graduate, and now look what she is doing. And when I was thinking about this Psalm 51 this morning, and I was thinking about that passage, I was picturing David, and he's a king, and he has got everything that in the natural we would think he would have. Not for him to worry about where he was going to live and what he was going to eat and whether he was going to be warm enough and whether he had purpose and fulfillment in life. He was the king of Israel, placed there by God himself. He was a man after God's own heart. Can imagine our peers saying that about us? Well, the Bible says this about David. He was a man after God's own heart. He had known tremendous victories on the battlefield, and he had known tremendous successes in seeing the kingdom of Israel grow and develop. He'd also known great disappointment, and he had known tremendous failures. He may well have been a man after God's own heart, but he was human after all. And we see here in Psalm 51, David is in possibly the darkest place he has ever been in. The context of this passage is not long after he's committed adultery. He's had the husband of the woman that he was sleeping with murdered in order to free her up. This is a man who's got everything and yet he's not got enough. He wants something that he shouldn't be having. And so he commits adultery with Bathsheba. He then has her husband Uriah killed. And all of a sudden, the enormity of what he has done hits him. What have I done? This man after God's own heart has just broken God's heart by behaving in the way that he did. That's part of David's story. Flaws and all. And you've got your story. God isn't just interested in transforming the lives of 180 children in the Philippines and 9 others scattered around the world. God is interested in changing and transforming your life and your story and your family and your community. That's what he wants to do for you. But like David, maybe you're in a situation where you're thinking, I'm in a really dark place. James, you don't know what my life is like. You don't know how hard it is. You don't know the challenges I face. You don't know the things that I've done. Well, no, I don't. But God does. And in the same way that God knew that David had committed adultery and had someone murdered, he knows your story. But he also knows what it can be transformed into. I strongly suspect there are no adulterating murderers here in the congregation. But whatever it is that you have done, or how you feel, or the dark place that you are in, just like David, we can know light and transformation and joy and peace and all of the things that the world wants to squeeze out of our life that is our inheritance in Christ. We can know those things again, but we have to be in a place where we are ready to say, Lord, help me. And maybe you don't even know who this God is that I'm talking about, but your life is in turmoil. You've tried all of the self-help books. If you've bought every self-help book that is on W.H. Smith's shelves, you'll be skint by now. There is more help out there than we've ever had. And yet, the only person that can really bring transformation is being ignored in our society, and yet God is reaching out to you. He's reaching out to us, and he's saying you can have a transformed life. But you need to understand where you're at before I can take you to where you're going next. And David says here in Psalm 51, in verse 3, he says, "For I know my transgressions." The first thing that David had to do was to understand the predicament that he was in. And we can fool ourselves and think everything's going well and everything's great and life is good and we're sailing along, and then bam, something comes at us, or we fail yet again and we feel wretched and dreadful. But that's the point when if we recognize where we're at and we say, Lord, I know my wretchedness and I need help. That's the moment when God can step in. If we think we're still in control and everything's going well, or it's actually the wheels are falling off, but I'm still trying to drive the car, three wheels on my wagon and I'm all over the place and two wheels on my wagon. When we recognize that we need help and we cry out, that's when God can step in. I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. I'm lying in bed at night and I'm feeling wretched because of what I've done. Because the state of my life. That's the beginning of a new future. So that's David. So what happens next? Well, as you read through the passage, he cries out and he said, Lord, I've tried the self-help books. I've tried to be a better person. I've tried to turn over a new leaf. I've done New Year's resolutions until they're coming out of my ears. Nothing is changing. How am I going to change? And David cries out, Lord, create in me a pure and clean heart. Don't change the one that I've got. Like Sila and her pacemaker. There was nothing that could be done with the old pacemaker. We couldn't put new batteries in. We couldn't put new leads in. We couldn't do anything with that. It had to be changed. It had to be new. It had to be clean. And God is saying, you want to have a transformed life? You cry out and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Because a clean heart means that I've got access to you. That blockage of the sin in my life has been removed and I can relate to you. I can connect with you. I can commune with you. And I don't know what place you're at in your life this morning. But if you're in that place where you're in your bed at night and you're crying out, it's not enough to try to be better. We need to be transformed by the power of God in our lives through His Holy Spirit. Create in me a pure heart. We can all have a pure heart this morning. Doesn't mean to say we're then going to be perfect this side of heaven. Hey, we know, don't we? But because it'll be Christ in us, the hope of glory, we will have a pure heart before God. What does it go on to say next? Okay, Lord, you've created in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. We live in a world that is without joy. We have got so much in the West. We've got everything that should make us happy and contented. And yet, you only need to look at the internet, television, and we continue to chase. We have no contentment. We have no peace. We're after the next thing. You know, I look at Facebook and I think, or for those who are, well, you need to be about, I think you've got to be about 40 or over to know about Facebook. I think if you're younger than that, Instagram or whatever. And I see these things, people putting up these images of this fantastic holiday they've been on. And their whole life looks fantastic. Nobody ever puts a post up there saying, this morning I just felt absolutely wretched. My life is in tatters. I don't know what I'm going to do. But deep within all of that, there is a discontent. There's a lack of joy. We're searching, and David knows the secret. He's got this clean heart. He's no longer feeling guilty. And he's saying, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You want to know joy in your life that goes beyond your circumstances? Lord, create in me a clean heart. Grant me a willing spirit. A willing spirit. All of these steps, these life transforming steps, they're for a purpose. Not just to make us feel good when we get up in the morning thinking, oh great, my life's in good order, all is well. But it's actually, Lord, grant me a willing spirit. A willing spirit to serve you. To see about your grace works is such a joy. To see that you are involved in so many different things where you're looking to transform the communities and the neighborhoods in which you live in is magnificent. It thrills me. because it says to me, you are serving God. One of the other big characters in the Bible is Peter. And we all know Peter's, well, maybe most of us know Peter's story. Mr. Impulsive. But he was another man who had his challenges and trials in life, and he let down God and he denied him, and we know those things. But there was a conversation one day between Peter and Jesus, and Peter was saying, you know, I'm going to serve you all my life. I'm going to support you. And Jesus gets to the nub of it. And he says to Peter, I want you to start going to church, and I want you to give, and I want you to pray, and I want you to be a good person, and then I want you to feed my sheep. Oh, wait a minute. I think I might have got that wrong. Do you know the only thing Jesus was interested in? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. It's not the other way around. It's not do all of these good things to then, or maybe, God is after your heart. He doesn't want your money. Yeah, he'll use it for his purposes. But he wants your heart. He wants your willingness. He wants this clean heart to say, this, I've got a life for you. I've got another chapter to your story. And here, Peter is challenged as well. And Jesus says to him three times, do you really love me? Then feed my sheep. And folks, what you are doing in your communities, these four sites, I trust and I pray that the motivation for everything you do is that you love the Lord because he first loved you. And if that is the case, then God is going to shower and pour, and this new building and this new center, he is going to do some magnificent things from you because you've proved to him you can be trusted. Even though there's the odd day when you don't think I'm doing very well. We've all been there. But on the whole, folks, do we love him? Then feed my sheep. You've got so many things going on here that makes your generosity towards the children of compassion even more amazing. And we thank you for each and every life that has been transformed. Maybe you're in a situation where, James, I'm completely maxed out in my serving. I'm giving all my time. I'm giving as much of the money as I can afford. I'm way above tithing. I'm sold out for God. Bless you for everything that you do individually and corporately for your church and for your neighborhood. But if, on the other hand, you think, you know what, I'm already sponsored child, but maybe I could do another. I'm already doing this, that, and the other, but actually I've got more capacity in my life. You know, one of the wonderful things about getting alongside a child and sponsoring a child is not only does God transform their life, God transforms yours. Talk to one another about that. And we know that the generosity of those who really understand God's generosity, we know that our lives are changed. We think, well, they think we're changing their lives, they're changing us. When I saw those children meeting Emma and Simo and Mark and different ones, lives changed, families changed, transformed by the love of Christ. And sponsoring a child can do that. Maybe God's speaking to you that actually, yeah, I'd like to be involved in this. The cost of what we talked about is £25 a month for the healthcare, the education, the social and spiritual development, physical development. £25 a month. For some of us, that's the difference between making ends meet at the end of the month and not. That happens. For others, it's two cups of coffee at Starbucks a week or a newspaper a day if you still buy such a thing. It's not a lot of money to some of us, but it is life transforming and life changing. And it can be life transforming and life changing for you. You see, God is as interested in your story as he is in Sila's story and in the 189 children's story. And maybe you're at a place where you think, well, I've done my bit. Whilst we live and breathe, God has got a chapter for us. And it's up to us to step into that chapter by saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart and give me a willing spirit. That's there for us. I hope you're more excited about what there is to come than what you've done in the past. I'm a man who's retired and gone back to work. That's my story in a nutshell. And I am more excited about what's to come than everything that I've done before. I am thrilled about what God is going to do in my life as long as I allow him the power or enable him the room and the space to do what he wants to do. Where are you at? Is it feet up, time with the slippers and a cup of cocoa? Spiritually speaking? Or do you want that next chapter? Do you want to be like David and say, hey, it's not finished yet. God's got a lot to do with me here in Chichester, in my family, in my workplace, that bridge club that I go to, or whatever, wherever. God has a plan and purpose for your life until the day we meet him. But we need to step into it. We need to have that recognition that actually he is the one who is better to understand where we should go next than we are. So transform lives, that's yours in Christ and mine in Christ. And maybe part of that is getting alongside a child and seeing their life transformed. You know, we cannot save the whole world. This problem is massive. Poverty around the world is massive. And sometimes the number can just obscure everything. Billions of people needing help and support. How can we save the whole world? No, we cannot. But we can change the world of one child, and who knows what that leads to. So in seeing a young life transformed can also transform your story and your life. I finished. If you have any questions, some of you folks here know more about compassion than I do, but if you've got any questions, I'm believing and trusting that there's a cup of tea or something at the end. White, no sugar would be fantastic. I'm ready. But Emma and I are going to be at a little table out there. We're going to have some children's programs, profiles, child's lives to be changed. If you want to know more about that, please come and see us, chat to us. If you just want to tell us that you've just written your Christmas letter, hey, come on. Let's just share what God is doing and what God has done. I want to thank you for the time that I've spent both here at Havant and also here. I want to thank you on behalf of the children and on behalf of compassion. What you are doing is world-changing here. And I pray that as you honour God, he is going to honour you with everything that you've got in plans for the next months. So bless you. Amen.